Hello, and welcome to another edition of the WCU Podcats Podcast. I'm Josh Thompson.
And I'm Patrick Frazier, coming to you live from Cullowhee, North Carolina, on this another rainy weekend day.
Yes, Patrick, if you're a longtime listener of the show and you've been with us for the last 11 weeks, Patrick loves to say, and it's another beautiful day in Cullowhee, North Carolina, but the last two episodes have not been.
No, we've literally been carrying our umbrellas all around campus the last two episodes. Last two game days, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the last two games have not been indicative, I think, of the level of excitement for the team and how much people were looking forward to the season. It's just the hurricane rains week ago, and then just regular rain today has just been kind of putting a damper on everybody's spirits and getting them out to the game.
Yeah, at least it was the start of fall break this week, and so most of the students have already headed on home and missed the rain, so hopefully they're staying dry at home.
I'm sure they are, and I'm sure they're also listening to the game or listen to the game on WWCUFM.com or on CatamountSports.com via Stretch Media.
And I'm sure they're all listening to our podcast today as well.
I hope so. There's several ways you can find the podcast. Here comes the weekly plug for how to listen. Podcasts.wcu.edu online. You can also subscribe, download, rate, and review our podcast on iTunes and iTunes U. We're on Facebook at WCU Podcasts, and of course on Twitter as well under the same handle. So I'm very excited about the episode today. I think it'll be a really good show. We're going to do a alumni spotlight, kind of like what we've done in the past with Patrick's brother Jarrett, except we are going to do kind of a roundtable spotlight. So we've never done this before, but I think it'll be good. We're going to do an alumni spotlight on our freshman years. And we do have a special guest joining us today, Patrick.
We sure do. And I will have her introduce herself.
Hello, I'm Cassie Beam. I'm a graduate of 2013. Go Cats.
So much younger than the two of us, Patrick, but that's okay. Maybe she won't make a lot of old jokes like some of our other guests have throughout their time here.
If she does, we'll just go ahead and kick her out of the studio and be done.
Yeah, we've got to edit all that out if she makes any cracks about my gray hair or you being an old man. So, jumping right in, we're going to talk about our freshman year. So I guess the first way to start is, Cassie, you graduated in 2013.
I did.
So freshman year was?
2009.
Excellent. Patrick, your freshman year was?
2003.
And my freshman year was 2004. A little bit of difference between us and Cassie. Not a lot of difference between Patrick and I. So let's talk about freshman year experiences. Let's start with your move-in day. Tell us a little bit about where you moved into, kind of what that experience was like, potentially meeting your brand new roommate, and then kind of what you did that first day, first night here, and all that kind of stuff. And of course, we have to start ladies first. So Cassie, why don't we let you begin?
Well, I moved in, it was a Friday morning, into Scott Hall on the fourth floor, room 420 to be exact.
Wow, I do not remember. I'm not going to give quite as detailed. There's no way I can remember. Although ours was significantly longer ago.
Well, my number is pretty easy to remember, but...
potentially.
I had not met my roommate. I did just luck of the draw, and it turned out to be pretty good. We got along very well. We're in two different majors, two different people, but things worked out, and it was good. It was a dry day, which is nice, because I think the rest of the weekend it rained, but we went to Sonic. I met some of my people that I met at orientation. I had their phone numbers, so I called them up, and my family had left, and so we all got together and went to Sonic.
Tears or no tears when family left?
No tears. It was actually my brother who moved me in. My parents were out of town that weekend, so no tears at all. He gave me a little money and said goodbye.
Well, that's a good way to do it then. No crying. You get money and then you're on your own.
That's
boom.
Right.
Patrick, why don't you go next?
So I'm sure your experience will be similar to mine, Josh, because Whenever I moved in, there was no freshman residence hall.
No, it was kind
and
of
so
a...
freshmen were all over campus for the move-in.
Mm-hmm.
I remember moving in on a Friday into Walker Residence Hall. I was on the first floor. I think it was 107B. I think that's what room I was in. I actually lived in that room all 4 years as a student.
I should know that room because it's the one that goes right next to the RD apartments. And, of course, I did live there for several years when I was running Walker.
Yeah. It's also connected if you come for a campus tour. It's right next to the room that we show on the campus tour. Mm-hmm. So we got moved in. My roommate actually didn't move in until a couple of days later because move-in for freshmen was on Friday, but classes didn't begin until the following Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, it was a little bit different. We had a full 5 days of no classes, no responsibilities. You can imagine why that was changed not soon after we arrived. When you allow students, specifically 18-year-old freshmen, to move in and give them no classes, no homework, no responsibilities at all. You just turn their meal plan on and say there's no curfew. Well, you can imagine that things did not go quite as smoothly as we would have probably liked as a university. You know, as students, it was a lot of fun. We got to go and experience lots of new things and lots of fun stuff. But, yeah, it probably makes a little more sense now with classes starting Monday and moving on Friday.
Yeah, and my roommate was a fifth-year senior. Joey Massenberg was my roommate.
So the next time one of our incoming freshmen or new freshmen wants to complain about the roommate selection process, at least, unlike Patrick, you didn't get stuck with a fifth-year senior.
Yes. So it was a much different experience. I remember we had convocation that afternoon after move-in, and then from that point on, we really didn't have anything else until the following week because Valley Ballyhoo wasn't until Tuesday of the next week. So we just sort of hung out for the weekend, and then the guys in the room next door moved in, I want to say on either Monday or Tuesday, and went from there.
So you had the whole suite to yourself.
I did for a couple of days.
Wow.
That was nice, but probably a little misleading on like getting to have everything to yourself the whole time.
It was a little misleading, and it was also nice being connected with the RD room on the other side. There were fewer people using our bathroom and Walker in the suite style, so that was also nice as well.
Yeah, that's one of the primo freshman rooms. I don't think a lot of people think about that, but that's one of the best rooms you can get. I feel like that's a future episode, like best possible freshman rooms you can get, or the top 10 rooms you can have on campus, because it would have to be that one of those rooms, one of the old three people rooms up in Reynolds, one of the corner rooms.
Oh, yes.
You guys know what I'm talking about, where it has three closets and it was made for three people to live in there. But it is a that I had that room as a junior and senior. So I guess it's my turn. In fall of 2004, I moved up. I was at Reynolds. At the time, Reynolds was the Honors College, so I moved in up there. Did have a freshman roommate. He was already here, though. He was in the marching band, so he had been on campus, and we had broken the res living rules a little bit because when he moved in, I came in here to help him move in. I'm doing air quotes. You can't see that via podcast, but I helped him move in. But really, what I did was move all my stuff in. So move-in day for me was not bad at all, because I only had to move a few boxes in and we were set and ready to go. So that was really nice and didn't have to do a lot of build up and tear down and that kind of stuff. There were tears on my Patrick. You didn't answer the tears question.
There are no tears for mine.
Well, you were, and you're so local. If you wanted to see your folks again, you could basically walk there if you wanted to. But yes, there were tears on mine. I was the first in the family. I'm the oldest child. So, it was strange to see my dad, who's a very manly man and macho guy, get a little upset. But it was a nice little moment, and I had a moment there to myself. There's nothing wrong with that. But once that ended, I remember once they left, I was hanging out. My roommate had all of his band friends, and we got along just fine. We only roomed together the 1 year. But we were cordial, I think is the best word to use there. And we were friendly. We played a lot of Madden back in the day. But that was about it. And we went down. I went down to Up All Night. And I remember specifically going and our RA taking us down there and running into a bunch of folks I knew from orientation and getting together with them. And it was – I had a lot of fun. I remember at the end of my first night at the RSA Up All Night or whatever it's called now, thinking that I definitely had made the right choice at Western. There was definitely no – second thoughts at the end of day one. I don't know about you guys, but that was kind of it for me.
Yeah, it was once everybody moved in to the,
yeah,
to the
sure.
dorm, it was a little different than that first night for sure. But it just took a little while to get everybody in and settled in.
Yeah, and ours, I was lucky that I had like probably every room around me except for one. In fact, our suite mates were the only ones who did not move in that first day. So there was a ton of freshmen on our hall, including a couple of freshman student athletes and cheerleaders. So we had a very lively floor. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Cassie, on the other hand, all the freshmen moved in at the same time, so you had it pretty easy.
Yes, it was nice. And one of my orientation buddies lived on the sixth floor, And the sixth floor of Scott was just for the football players. So within that first week, I had met all these football players, and, you know, football season was kicking off. And so it was perfect because it was like a great way to give me something to do on the weekends. I had friends to kind of go out there and cheer on, and it was an exciting time.
See, yeah, definitely. She had the football players on her floor. The floor above me was the cheerleaders and the dance team. So,
yeah, I don't think we had any kind of set up floors like that in Reynolds at the time. It was just all Honors College, and they had done a really good job keeping it really nice up there. And so there was lots of fun stuff going on. And so talking about our first day, kind of transitioning, and do you guys remember, because I vividly remember the first class I ever walked into at Western. I don't know if you guys will have the same memory, but just in case, is there a first class you specifically remember walking into? Or if you don't have the first class specific memory, is there a time or is there a class that first semester or that first year that really stood out to you and made an impact on you and your kind of first year here at Western?
I think the one class that I remember from my first year was the intro to engineering class that I took, and it was actually a group of us from orientation that all ended up taking that class together, and somehow we all got put in that class together too, which was neat, because we actually had the intro to engineering, we also had intro to business and English all together. So it was really strange having three different areas of study that the same people were in all those classes. But the intro to engineering was a neat class because we each week or every 2 weeks we covered a different area of engineering, and so we'd have a professor come in for 2 weeks, teach us about one area of engineering, and then 2 weeks later we'd start all over again with another area. And so it was a really sort of neat learning experience of, okay, this is what this program has to offer. Because originally I was thinking that I wanted to study engineering. After that class, I switched to business.
I don't remember exactly my first class, but I do remember us all taking a picture the morning of our first classes in our hall. But I don't remember what class I went to, but I do remember my first semester I had English. I guess it was 101 or whatever the first English class is. And I'd never been a fan of like reading classes in high school. So when I got in there, the professor was so chill. She was the most like nice. And I remember she was actually at orientation, and we got to sit in a class with her. And I was like, I really want this lady. Her name was Beth Huber. And it was the best class. I ended up making an A in it, and I loved English after that. She put a whole different perspective on it than I had from high school. And I and some of my buddies, me and some of the same people at orientation, all signed up for the same class, so we were all in there together. So that was a good experience, and it made me appreciate English more than I did in high school.
That's awesome. You don't, I mean, you don't often hear kind of somebody doing that kind of a dramatic turnaround after one class or something like that, but that's neat. I think that is not uncommon here at Western, that folks come in and they meet a professor that can really change their perspective. So it's neat to hear kind of that still happening, even, you know, 9-10 years after me and Patrick were freshmen a while ago. The class I vividly remember walking into was my freshman year seminar, right? And everybody has to have their freshman seminar. At the time, there were not a lot of awesome themed freshman seminars like there is now with Band of Brothers and
Secrets of Powerful
Women. Yeah, and Best of Friends is now Secrets of Powerful Women. I think a much better name.
And see, they didn't actually start that until your freshman year, Josh, because we didn't have any of those freshman seminars. All that we had in that sort of aspect was study techniques.
Oh, yuck. And I'm very glad they changed that. If my first class had been study techniques, I would have probably been really sad and not really excited like I was. My freshman seminar was Introduction to Creative Writing, taught by the one and only Ron Rash. And it was super cool. Like, I remember walking in and our summer reading that summer that we had to read, the book we got at orientation, was his, at the time, it was his latest book. It was a murder mystery. And now, for the life of me, I can't remember what the title of that book was, but it was awesome. And we were sitting there, and I'd read, and the plot of that book, you know, without giving the ending away or anything, is that there's a murder that happens on this small town on a farm in the North Carolina mountains, which is, if you're not aware of why Ron Rash is teaching at Western. The reason he's here is because all of his books take place exclusively in the southwestern North Carolina mountains. So he does a lot of writing about our area, which is why we're lucky enough to have him teaching creative writing here at Western. And so we went in and remember learning from him, and he kind of had the first class was kind of an open, kind of like, what do you know? What do you like? And so we talked about kind of different ideas and different genres within creative writing and kind of how to start putting stuff together to write a novel or to write a short story, because he's published tons of short stories as well. And I remember somebody asking, well, what are you working on now? And he said, well, you know, I have the rough outline in my head. I know that it's going to involve this teen who is running away from home and stumbles into a pot field or marijuana field out in the mountains. That's a secret marijuana location that these people grow out in the mountains and then sell it. And then he kind of steals the marijuana and sells it on his own. And it kind of turns into like this turf war between him and the owners of the land. And it was, and so that was kind of the outline of the story he was working on. And that was actually a lot more detailed than what he told us. He basically said it was involving a teen running away, finding this, and then starting to sell it, and then bad stuff happens. But that actually turned into his next book, which was a number one New York Times best-selling book. Was really great, and this was, again, probably well before he had thought about writing Serena, which is probably his most well-known book, another number one New York Times best-selling book that they, of course, just turned into a major motion picture with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper. So being able to do class number one with a guy like Ron Rash totally made a huge impression on me when I first got here. And if I was happy about being here after day one, I was really happy about being here after class number one.
So sort of moving forward there, you know, we are in the fall athletic season. So take us back to your fall athletic memories of,
you know where I'm going.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going. Yeah.
I was very lucky.
Josh was very lucky in his fall experience. Do you, Cassie, remember anything from football season that first year since you were hanging out with the football team all the time?
Yes, we weren't very good.
That's not too uncommon for the middle 2000, early 2000s. Unfortunately, not a ton of sustained success.
Right. I do remember, though, me and two other girls were really big fans of our sixth floor football players. So even in the pouring down rain, we would be out there with our ponchos on, cheering on those guys, and we would hang out with them after the game. And it was so many good memories came from that first semester freshman year.
And so you were prepared for the last 2 weeks of nasty Catamount football weather.
Yes, but I've gotten a little older, so I'm not really ready for it now.
Not quite as tolerant as you. When you could run, like literally run home and change, it's a little bit easier than when you have to go to your car in your wet sneakers and
yes,
soaking wet, and then have to drive
yes
home and do all that kind of stuff.
That freshman year for me, football wasn't all that great. We were going through some coaching changes around that time, so it was a little bit in flux that year. We were all looking forward to basketball that season.
Coach Hunter came in, so that was one of the last Steve Sharina years.
It was.
And that was also, I know where you're going with this, so I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
That was a Kevin Martin year.
Yes.
And so we were all gearing up and ready for basketball season, getting to enjoy having Kevin Martin on campus in one of his few seasons here as a Catamount that we thoroughly enjoyed getting to cheer him on and the Catamounts on during basketball season. So football was just kind of, okay, let's make it through football season, and then let's get ready for basketball season.
Yeah, the Kevin Martin years were really special. And at that time, Patrick, when you were a freshman, was when he was getting his huge draft buzz. Everybody was talking about him leading the nation in scoring and really kind of propelling himself up the draft boards. And I remember that year or the year after he was drafted at the summer of 04.
That's correct. Yeah. So that was
before I started. After
my freshman year was his last year here. His junior year was his last year.
Yeah. So his last year was a fall 03, spring 04, drafted in the first round by the Sacramento Kings. I want to say was number 21 overall. I could be
21 or 22. He was in the early 20s.
Yes. So I remember getting accepted into Western and deciding I was going to go to Western, and then seeing that one of the basketball players got drafted like a month after I decided I was going to go to Western was really cool. You know, unfortunately, right after he left, the basketball team went into the tank a little bit. Coach Sharina was gone, and we brought in Coach Larry Hunter, who has done a fabulous job over the last decade or so here at Western. He's probably entering into what, year 9 or 10? He's got to be getting close.
He's in at least year 9 now.
Yeah, because I don't know if he's in 10 yet. He was hired my sophomore year. It's or sophomore or junior. I remember being really excited about him coming in from NC State. A lot of people were really excited about the offense he was going to bring in. He's still done really well as he's here almost a decade later. But my freshman memory has to be the last time Western Carolina beat Appalachian State for the old Mountain Jug was fall of 04 here in Cullowhee, and half of the students and fans had left because we were down 10 or 11 points with like 5 minutes to go. Made a massive comeback with backup quarterback Justin Clark came in and just went on a tear. And I think it was him and Darius Fudge, I think, was the running back at the time. They just went off. App had a chance to win the game with a long field goal. And as soon as that field goal started veering right, or I guess veering left now that I'm thinking about it, because I remember the exact moment. I was sitting in the stands. As soon as that thing, everybody just took to the field, tore down the goalpost. It was pandemonium in Cullowhee, and it was probably one of the greatest experiences of my life outside of, you know, getting married and meeting my wife and all that kind of stuff. Hi, Brittany, if you're listening. I love you, and you're still number one. Western beating App was number two, I think, for real. Well, I guess graduation has to be number two.
In this case, graduation would be number three.
For this purpose, though, Western beating App, and I thought that was incredible, and I just knew that was going to shoot us into kind of the next stratosphere of football success. It didn't work out that way, but I remember it being very, very special.
I do remember the goalposts. So one ended up in the bell tower.
Yes.
And the other one ended up in front of the chancellor's house.
I have an awesome picture with me and my little brother, Brett, who's now a junior at UNC Chapel Hill. At the time, he was just a wee little guy. And me and him went over there to take a picture with the goalpost. And they were supposed to be, UPD was supposed to be stopping folks from, you know, climbing on it so they wouldn't hurt themselves. They helped us get onto it and then took the picture for us. Because everybody understood that was going to be a once in a lifetime or hopefully more than once in a lifetime. But really, it ended up being a once in a lifetime experience. And I need to get a copy of that picture from my mom, because that would be an awesome thing to have framed in my office. As I look around the podcast studio here, I don't have a lot of wall space, but I think I could make room for that photo.
I think you got some space up on top there that you can work on.
I could probably put some stuff on the ceiling, but that's about it. I try to keep it interesting in here.
So that covers us through some athletic experiences during the freshman year. What's one thing that stands out in the fall of your freshman year? That one memory of that you can always go back to, whether it's with your friends going somewhere for the weekend, or just that one memory from your freshman year that always stands out?
Mine would have to be Halloween night. It was your freshman year, Halloween night, so you go out and get all these skimpy clothes to wear, and you're going out to try to impress
some people. I need to know this.
Well, I got them from you after my sophomore and junior year. I just raided your closet, Josh.
Well, you know, I back in my day, I was quite the risque dresser. Luckily, my wife didn't know me then, so she can only judge me so much. But no, yeah. Continue, guys. I'm sorry we cut you off.
I'm not saying I was dressed that way. I'm just saying, you know, everyone around you are.
Plausible deniability is always a good thing.
So we go out to this party, and you're not 21 as a freshman, so you have to be really careful when you're out doing whatever you're doing. I was just hanging out with people, and it started pouring down rain, and we were outside. So, of course, you're in Western. You have to have your umbrella at all times. Mm-hmm. We all go running back, and we get back to the dorm at, like, 9 o'clock on Halloween night. And we all just sit in our room for the rest of the night, and we thought about that over and over, how we should relive Halloween from our freshman year, because it ended up being such a – we didn't do anything. We just kind of hung out and Actually, our RA came around later and gave us all candy who was still in the dorms that night. So that was pretty exciting.
Nice. Yeah, they do some reverse trick-or-treating with Peaks.
They do. That was a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed
it. It turned out to be a much safer night than it could have been.
Well, so. I'm sure your parents and your families were ecstatic to be hearing that story. And folks, that again is one of our... We always have a little disclaimer when we're talking about, specifically, mostly when we're talking about food or places to go out and have an adult beverage. One of those do as we say now, not as young us would have done in college. So keep that in mind. Follow the rules. Be cool.
That's right. it turns out better in the end because I wouldn't have got any candy at that party. So it ended up working out great. So.
For me, we actually ended up having our own residence hall sports competitions. Ah. So we set up a putt-putt course where we actually worked our way up the 9 floors of Walker for the first 9, and then we worked our way on the other side of the building down for the back 9. So we had putt-putt one night. We also had...
You people.
No, that sounds so cool.
From the former RD.
Tried to make my life miserable.
we also set up a residence hall basketball in the dorm room. So we had one goal on the window and one above the door. A disclaimer on that, if you do have residence hall basketball in your room, shut the door. Otherwise, you will end up in the ER like we did that night when one guy jumped up to dunk the ball and busted his nose on the door frame.
Oh, no.
You know what they say. Don't do that. It's against residence hall policy to play sports in the hall. So this is another one of those do as we did.
Residence hall room for that one. We weren't in the hallway. We were in the residence hall room on that one. But then we transitioned into video game sports and set up tournaments. We had NCAA tournaments for the football games on the PlayStation. We also did NFL tournaments. And we'd actually have residence hall wide tournaments, and then we also had air hockey tables in the residence hall, so we'd have air hockey tournaments too.
I think my most vivid memory, probably from freshman year, outside of the App WCU game, was my first ever radio show. I came to Western, wanted to be a sports broadcasting guy, and I was in Subway eating dinner, and an ad came on because they play 90. They used to play because that building doesn't exist anymore. They used to play 90.5 in Subway, and it said, "Would you like to be part of the station? Are you a student? Like, come by. Our meeting is blah blah blah." And it happened to be that night in 20 minutes. And Subway at the time was super close to where the old Student Union is, where Power 90.5 is. And we're gonna have to get used to calling it Power 90. Not Power 90.5 anymore. But in a couple years, we're changing frequencies. That's kind of some interesting news that has broken in the last couple of weeks. We haven't got a chance to comment on, but maybe we'll do that later on. I digress. But so I went up there and talked to them. Like, they had their meeting, and they're like, "What does everybody want to do?" And I was like, "I want to do a sports talk show." They're like, "Okay, like, bring us a plan." And then they asked if anybody was interested in doing announcing for women's volleyball. And I was like, "I'll do it." And I'd never seen a women's volleyball game before. And so they gave me, I went down and met with the coach and Daniel Hooker and some of the folks over with media relations. They gave me game tape, not to watch and study how volleyball works, but to listen to the guy talking in the background so I would know kind of when to talk and what to say and that kind of thing. But so all that happened, and then they gave me my show. So this was 2 weeks later. So I probably not even had my first test at Western yet. So this was probably early September.
And for those that have been listening all year long with the podcast, you'll wonder, you know, this is making it pretty evident why Josh always makes sure to comment about Colloway Athletics when we're on the podcast.
I've been working with athletics since I was a freshman, and so I always try and bring a little bit in there. So I was super excited. I met a guy that was willing to co-host with me. His name was Wes Cohn. He was a really great dude. Didn't know much about sports, but I kind of, at the time, we were doing a sports and pop culture show. So he kind of brought the pop culture style. And so we were talking, and I finally get my first ever call. So somebody was actually listening to the show, and I was so excited. And can you guess what the first caller said to me? I will never forget it. At the start of my broadcasting career, first show, first call. Any guesses?
Was it your mom calling?
No, it's not my mom. It was nobody related to me, and I have no idea who this person is. Could have been you for all I know, Patrick. But my first caller said, "Oh, hey, yeah, I was listening. I just called in. play Ghost. No, you guys suck. Play some Fog Hat. So that was my first ever caller into a radio show that I did, and I will never forget. And I still hold a grudge against Fog Hat, the classic rock band. Every time I hear them on the radio, I turn the channel because that was my first ever listener comment. As you can see now, you maybe know why I'm not in sports broadcasting professionally.
So, Josh, we'll turn it over to you. Where do you want to head next as we spotlight our freshman year experiences?
Let's see. Let's go into your first dining hall experience. I think everybody likes to hear about food. And here on the podcast, you know that we basically turn everything into a food discussion here. So let's talk about favorite dining hall or dining spot when you came up to Western.
Well, ladies first.
Okay, so my freshman year was the first year that the new dining hall was open.
Lucky.
So
yeah, the courtyard. I would have killed for the courtyard.
After we went to Sonic, that was for like a lunch. We came in and we all were like, all right, meet back at 5 at the dining hall. So we were going to go up there. And we ended up spending like 2 hours there just talking about what classes we had and all these things. So I love the dining hall because there's so many options. And we were in there so long, we all went and got our food, came back. I don't even remember what I got the first time. But we were sitting there for so long, I went back to the cereal bar, which ended up being my favorite, and got a bowl of Fruit Loops and sat there and ate that. And so then that was like always my go-to. If I got up there and I wasn't sure what I would want, I would always go to the cereal bar.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. That's a pretty common go-to. I think everybody, you can at least get a cereal you like up there.
Yeah, I remember... you know, freshman year as well as all 4 years of school, we didn't have the luxuries of the courtyard dining hall food.
You
so,
young whippersnappers have no idea what me and Patrick went through.
So our go-to place typically was Chick-fil-A just because it was the fastest, most convenient spot.
And at the time, the best.
And at the best.
Let's throw it out there.
Yeah. We would always end up eating at Brown a lot just because
Brown.
It was the all-you-could-eat option that was the easiest option. And, you know... Food-wise, you know, there's no food meal that stands out at Brown. The one thing that everybody, even alumni, remembers about Brown is the trays, putting your tray up. You had to slide the tray into a little bitty hole and hope that you got it onto the ledges for it to sit right. If you didn't, it'd go crashing down and you'd hear someone cussing at the bottom of the conveyor.
I hope when they reopen Brown next year, they do something about the conveyor belt, or else the university is going to be sitting at a lot of lawsuits, I think.
I don't know. I think they need to keep the conveyor belt just for the experience.
Yeah, yeah. It was different. And then all the people in the cafeteria would turn and point and laugh at you. You know, that it was hurtful.
Really, now, although now, was. Brown did have a pretty good breakfast.
Yes, Brown breakfast. And then my favorite experience or meal was, we've talked about before, steak and shrimp night. And I still will never understand why anybody would go shrimp over steak, because they gave you a big old steak or 4 pieces of shrimp. Like, and it cost the same thing. Why would you get shrimp? And then there were those high rollers who would get both.
Yes,
oh,
we had
yeah,
those.
Like, yeah, people would be like, ha, yeah. I'm just gonna. And those were the people that were begging you to buy them a meal in October because they had either Java City Coffee or Chick-fil-A or double steak and shrimp. And then they were broke. And then I would laugh at them.
Yeah, you know, unlike Cassie, because she also had the luxury of Starbucks, we had Java City.
Yeah, I like. I kind of miss Java City, being in the University Center.
You can still get it in the in Hunter Library, but that's the only spot.
Yes.
I was gonna make a not there. I was gonna make a like at you who wants to go to the library, but this is actually done by the Office of Admission, where we want folks to go to the library and keep their grades up very high. So I'm gonna refrain from bashing the library on the university sponsored podcast. I think that would be frowned upon.
I think so as well. And now, sort of thinking in terms of learning experiences here, what is one either building that is currently built on campus that wasn't here your freshman year or is in the works to be built that you wish had been here your freshman year?
I was going to say, you had to throw that caveat in because Cassie is such a relatively recent alumni that everything was still here.
I have a feeling the downtown center is going to be the one for Cassie.
Yes, that's coming up. And I actually just got engaged here about a month ago, and we drove by there to see that. And so I was like, whoa, what happened? And I talked to Patrick, and he told me more about the things that's coming, and it's going to be such a nice – I'm not going to be here to see it.
You can come up for visits and that kind of stuff.
Having Subway, Bob's will be back in the downtown center, and Chili's. Those will be some great additions to the
Catamount campus. I don't know that they've... Have they officially confirmed Chili's, or is that still a rumor?
As far as I know, it's confirmed, but it could still be a rumor. But everything I've heard so far said Chili's, but we will double-check that.
Inside scoopage here on the podcast.
So we'll do some fact-checking for one of our future podcasts to make sure that...
Yeah, I've heard lots of rumors about it being Chili's as well, so that'll be awesome. And for those adults over the age of 21, because the Chili's is in the downtown facility and not in the new Brown Dining Hall that they're constructing, to my knowledge, they will be able to sell adult beverages, specifically what they're most known for, their margaritas. So if you're looking for a new tailgate spot here in the next year or so, that might be a good one to go to.
Plus, that downtown center is going to have new residence housing as well, so even more students will be able to live on campus once that facility is open, too.
Yeah, and that will be upperclassmen housing. Can you imagine how quickly those kids are going to get burned through money, either like living right above a Chili's or living right above a Subway?
Their DB will be gone.
Yes, it is going to go away quickly, as well as all their disposable income. Patrick, what about you?
For me, I think the one that I wish had been here when I started would probably be the dining hall. It's going to have to focus around food. You know, we had Dotson and Brown, but it would have been nice to have the Courtyard Dining Hall with Moe's and Witch and McAllister's. All those different dining locations would have been such a great addition whenever we were in school starting out that freshman year.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go one that's here now that wasn't here, because I've been here for 10 of 11 years. So I've got a chance to experience all of our buildings currently. I will say the one I wish the Brown that is going to be here would have been here when we started, because that is going to be an awesome, awesome place. All the designs look really cool. I can't wait to see how the new Brown cafeteria works out. I think it'll be really special.
I'm really excited to see what food options that they place inside Brown. None of that has been released yet, so
nope. All
we're
we know is
eagerly
that they
awaiting.
They sent a survey out to all students and faculty and staff, kind of letting you kind of list restaurants you'd like to see or that kind of thing. So we won't speculate because that would be not responsible of us as admissions employees. But I think there's going to be a lot of really, really good stuff in there that people are going to be surprised about.
We'll have to have Keith Corzine and Bryant Barnett come on the podcast one day to give us an update on.
Maybe they could give us the exclusive. Maybe they could announce on podcasts what the new restaurants in Brown are going to be. I think that would be cool.
I'm sure we could convince them to do that.
We'll have to try and pull some strings. But anyway, we appreciate everybody. Anything else you guys want to add about your freshman year before we kind of wrap up the show?
For all you incoming freshmen, I can say get involved. Get involved at the beginning because it makes life much easier.
Yeah, and get to know everybody that's living around you. Those will be some of your best friends, not only through college, but after college. And typically those are the people that you'll be going to weddings of after you graduate. You'll be going to each other's weddings and being in those weddings and getting involved. So getting to know everybody that lives in your residence hall and all the residence halls, we provide you many opportunities, as we've already highlighted through previous podcasts. So get to know everybody on campus.
Yeah, I definitely echo what Cassie and Patrick said. And I do want to thank Cassie for joining us today. It's awesome to have you on the podcast. Hopefully you'll join us again sometime in the future.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, our pleasure. And as always, for Patrick Frazier, this is Josh Thompson. Say go Cats!